We'll be talking about 6 aspects of friendships. We have it on the board, so if you get lost, you can find your spot there. And by no means is that list complete. We could say so much more about friendships than just that, but we're going to highlight these areas tonight. And if, as we're talking, something triggers like a light bulb in your brain, write it down. Take note of it. Remember it. Because what the question we want you to be sitting with for the rest of the night as we're talking through this, what is something that God wants you to take back to your own friendships? So first, we're going to zoom in on this question of what is the purpose of friendships? Last week, we talked about singleness, about how we needed to be rooted in God. Amanda had these plants in the middle of the stage for us, this plant that was had this like ball of roots, a part of it. And we talked about how our identity, our purpose, our value is found when we're rooted in God, not in our relationship status and not in our friendships or with other people. And then 2 weeks ago in week 1, we talked about how we are all created for relationships, though. We're created to be in relationship with God and with others. And these two ideas are true at the same time. Our value is not dependent upon others, and we're created to be in relationship with others. And what that tells me is that part of being rooted in God is being connected with others. Because one way that we experience the love of God in our lives is through other people. We are designed to need other people to help us grow to be rooted in God. The growth process must include those around us. So the purpose of friendship is to build each other up, to push each other to grow. It's what Hebrews 10:24 through 25 says. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. And it's not just about spiritual or biblical conversations. It's about how we interact, how our lives mesh together, how we are relating to one another. So what does this look like practically? How do we know that we are in healthy friendships? Well, whether a friendship is healthy or not, I think it's measured by Hebrews 10. Is my friend encouraging me? Are they building me up? Are they pushing me to God? One way that encouragement happens is with our words, because our words matter. This is what Ephesians 4 says. Ephesians 4:29. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. How do you talk to your friends? Like, how do you interact with them? Do you build each other up, or do you tear each other down? This is something that I've struggled with for a long time. I love to joke. I love sarcasm. It's like a second language to me. I love to interact with my friends in joking ways. And sometimes those jokes go just a little too far. Sometimes I'm not laughing with my friends. I'm laughing at them. Sometimes the jokes go beyond to the point where I'm laughing at their expense. And I don't get me wrong, I will be the first to admit that joking can be a good thing. If we're talking about our words are meant to build each other up, sometimes jokes can do that. I've been on the receiving end of jokes that make me feel seen and valued. I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. If you don't know what that means, you can talk about it in your small groups. But I don't want to get rid of something that can be good, but where's the line? Because joking at other people's expense, it never feels good. So how do we know what side of that line that we're on? And I think it comes down to 2 questions. The first is, what is my motivation? Why am I saying what I'm saying? Is it to build the person up, or is it to make a joke? And the second is, how are they going to receive it? Because impact matters more than intent. I can have the best intentions, But if my joke lands and the impact of it is for somebody to feel like they got torn down, then I'm not building them up. I'm not doing what Ephesians 4 says. The impact of our words should be an encouragement to others. Another part of healthy relationships is, are they safe? Proverbs 11, 12 through 13 talks about this idea that there's a difference between putting each other down with our words and gossiping about each other and treating each other with kindness and confidentiality and keeping not talking about others behind their backs. How we show up, really it's asking this question, is am I safe? Is this friendship safe? Do people feel like they can trust me? That when they come to me with something big or small, that they're going to be met with kindness and gentleness, and that I'm not going to go immediately talk about them behind their back. It makes me think of my friend James. I had a friend, James, growing up in high school, and any time that I would talk to James, he would have a compliment for me. It was just part of who he was. It would be, oh man, last night you did this awesome thing at practice and you're just so good. Or hey, you answered this question and it really helped me. Thanks for being so smart. Or hey, I really love your shoes. Or hey, you've been so kind to me. Thank you. It was always aimed at building me up. It was, and he was safe. If I ever had something that I needed to talk about, I knew I could trust James to meet me with kindness and to not talk about me. It was this, I started to experience a benefit talking to him where I could show up my authentic self unedited and know that I'll be loved and valued. I got to experience the love of God through James. He had an impact on me. But it makes me wonder, and Amanda, maybe you can help answer this question. Does that mean all of our friends need to be Christian?
I would say no. Because I think it's important, and God uses different groups, the two different groups. As you see, I have friends of faith and friends that don't have faith. And I think that God uses each of them in a different way in our lives. And so we're going to talk about, I want you to take out a piece of paper and I want you to write down 3 to 5 friends' names. You know, like in school when you have this big Venn diagram where it's like one side is this. So first we're going to talk about friends of faith. Friends of faith pray for you. You go to church or youth group with them. You share the same morals or values. They encourage you to have spiritual growth. They understand your faith struggles. They hold you accountable. Hey, I haven't seen you at church. I haven't seen you at youth group. And they use similar language about God. Their lens is faith. And then there's a group of friends that you have that are non-faith friends. So you're going to write down these 3 to 5 names, and we're going to talk about them. In the non-faith friend circle, they have a different belief system than you. Different doesn't mean bad. It just is different. They may not understand your church culture. Like, why do you go to church on a Wednesday night? The good thing about that is they offer a different perspective than you may not think of, because they have a different lens than you. They challenge you to what you believe, and you have to explain it because they don't understand. Or maybe that's not their belief. They're like, why do you do that? They may have a different standards about behavior than your church friends. But through this, they expose you to new ideas and experiences. So like a Venn diagram, we have this side, we have this side. And then in the middle, I would say all friendships, no matter if they're Christian or non-Christian, should share these things. They should be loyal. They can support you during hard times. They should be trustworthy. You can have inside jokes and have fun with both groups. It should be respectful. There should be encouragement. There should be care. So now what I want you to do next to the 3 to 5 names, I want you to put a F if they're a faith friend or an N if they're a non next to their name. The thing about faith friends is that their advice has the lens of God, and it's a little different than a non-faith friend. So I have both, and if I ask a person on who doesn't believe in God about their advice or their viewpoint about something, I'm like, interesting. I can say the same thing about some of my faith friends where I'm like, Interesting. But I would say one thing. When I go to my friends who don't believe in God and ask them about a question or a piece of advice, there's a piece that's missing for me. I kind of feel unfulfilled, like, well, you don't get this part, this huge part of my faith or belief. But that's not always true. Like Hebrews says, we want people in our lives, no matter if they're non-faith or faith friends, that encourage us in love and goodness. So they should encourage you and not tear you down. And so next to these, you have a list of people, and I'm going to ask you four questions, okay? And so next to your four questions, you're going to put a plus or a minus. And these questions will be in your groups. You can reflect on them. Does this friend treat me with respect, and do I feel safe with them? So you'd put a plus by their name or a negative or a minus. So each friend's going to have four marks. Does this friendship build each other up or tear each other down? Is this friendship helping me be who I want to be? And can I be my full, true self around them? Where you don't have to edit who you are, you can be you no matter what. So we've talked about faith, we've talked about non-faith, and now there's a topic that I think is important is opposite gender. Where you're friends with, if you're a girl, you're friends with boys, and if you're a boy, you're friends with girls. Out of the list, look at your list of five, how many of those people are opposite gender? Take note. Growing up for me, I always got along with the boys better than girls. Sorry, girls, they were just too drama. They gossiped, they were mean to each other, and so I wanted to hang out with the boys because they didn't care. They didn't get into the nitpicky of, oh my gosh, what is she wearing? They're like, clothes? Like, they don't care. And so there's so many things that you can do today to be friends with both genders or someone who's a different gender than you. Because guys see, or girls, opposite gender, sees things differently. They have different advice for you. They see crushes and life and events in a little bit different lens than we do in the gender we are. And you know why this is helpful to you at times? It's because it can help you learn about yourself. In a friend, some of my guy friends, I was like, I do never want to date a guy who does that. Or I'd be like, hey, that's really cool he does that. I want a guy who will open the door for me. They also, having mixed gender friendships, helps you to problem solve and communicate in a way that you're going to have to do with opposite gender the rest of your life. And when you have opposite gender friendships, they may start off as friendships and then enter this awkward I like you stage. That's the fact. Like, it might go there. And you can feel that coming. And what I would tell you is be honest about it. If you don't like that person in that way, be honest. I had a friend named Dylan, and we drove together our freshman year of college. We ride-shared because it was like 45 minutes each way. I had been friends with Dylan for a long time, and I don't know why, but all of a sudden I got the vibe of, I think he likes me and I don't like him. So what I chose to do 5 minutes before we got to the college, I was like, Dylan, I think you like me, and I just want to say, you're like a brother. He was like, oh, probably. But I was like, I just want to be friends with you. I enjoy the conversations we have about God. I enjoy hanging out with you, but I don't want to date you. And can we still be friends? And then we went to our opposite classes. We got back in the car after school, and it was never awkward again. Have the conversation. And if you do like them and you have opposite gender friendships, there is a chance that you may lead to a dating friendship. And that'd be super cool too. Because then your dating life has started because you were close friends. But no matter what kind of friendship you're in, whether it's healthy or mixed gender or faith or non-faith, there's an important topic that we talked about last week that Matthew's going to talk about this week again is boundaries.
Boundaries are important in friendships. Boundaries are important in any relationship, but boundaries are these things that help define what's me and what's not me, what's you and what's me. And Proverbs 4:23 says this, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. guard your heart. That doesn't mean that you automatically cut everyone out of your life, but it means that you're wise about who you let have access and how much access you give them to your heart. It feels like, though, at times, setting boundaries can sometimes be a choice between two bad options. The first option is that if I set a boundary, all of a sudden I'm worried about how that impacts my friendship. And then the other side is I feel like if I don't set a boundary, I'm just giving this person unlimited access to my heart, and that's not a really great option either. But here's the thing. Healthy friendships can handle boundaries. If a friendship falls apart because you say no, that tells you something. So what does this look like practically? How do we actually set up boundaries? Last week, Amanda introduced this idea of boundaries are like her dog with his electric collar around her fence or around her yard. Like, he has this place where he can and can't go. And that sets this like parameter of, okay, here's the boundary of where I can be. So practically, I think this looks like no being a really powerful boundary word, saying no to people, or saying, I'm not comfortable with that, please stop. Or not responding to texts that you don't feel comfortable with, or not responding to texts after a certain time, or not oversharing too quickly, or not letting someone constantly dump their problems on you without taking responsibility, or not you dumping your problems on somebody else without you taking responsibility. And the list can go on. Those are just a few. It also makes me think of my dog in my yard. So we have a chain link fence around our yard that we let Fred run, have free roam, except at night. See, Fred has hunted one too many rabbits in our backyard. He's gotten sprayed by a skunk one too many times. So he's no longer allowed to have a lot of freedom at night. So we actually put a gate up that blocks off the rest of the yard, and it limits his space. It keeps him safe, it keeps the critters safe, it keeps our house safe. Sometimes his boundary has to change because the situation called for it. That's true with our lives. Sometimes boundaries need to change depending on your season or situation. Boundaries aren't bad. They don't stop us from being in relationship with others. They don't stop us from loving others. They help us love wisely and appropriately. But even when we do have healthy boundaries, there can still sometimes be conflict in our relationships.
Anytime you're in a relationship with someone, you're bound to have some type of difference in opinion, a disagreement. You may even hurt each other. Unfortunately, conflict is the result of sin. And so it's going to happen. And so what do you do when that happens? I think Jesus showed us really well what to do during conflict. His whole life, he was in conflict with people. His whole life, people were like, why is he doing this? He had friction constantly. And through his words and it living, he demonstrated to us that he had care, compassion, and love for the people, even when they were rubbing him the wrong way. And he held them accountable. He flipped tables and said, hello, check your hearts. How are you living your life? And so I think both in friendships and in conflict, we need to have care and we need to have accountability. Paul says, and I can't read the whole thing because it's so beautiful but so long because of time. So I want you to write Romans 12, 17 equals love. Go read the whole part. The whole part is about love and how to live our life. But in Romans 12, Paul writes, do, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So the goal is to live at peace, and you may not live at peace with people at times. But we are to act out of love, even during a conflict, and not take revenge. Today, I see so many people that if there's a hurt, if there's a post, if someone's being unkind, people ghost each other, they unfollow, they block, they even post about that online, about what how someone hurt them. And yeah, that might feel really great at the moment until you walk down the hallway and you're like, there she is. Or, oh, I'm at the grocery store. Oh, there that person is. And the conflict is still there. Ignoring and gossiping are not healthy solutions to conflict. So there's this acronym that is TALKS, T-A-L-K-S. T, take a breath. Before, as you know that you're getting worked up or that you're disagreeing, take a breath or take a break. Because our bodies literally get into fight and we want to use all our words and it's not helpful. Pause before reacting. A, ask what happened. Sometimes we assume and we tell ourselves stories about what's happened because we're so worked up, our body's like, and we get it wrong. Ask what happened, and then ask yourself, what part did you have? L, listen fully. And I don't mean like listen so that you have the answer of how you're going to combat them with what they're saying. I mean truly listen to what so that you can understand, not to plan your comeback. K, keep it respectful. Focus on solving the problem and not winning. Ask yourself, do I need to forgive them? And do I need to ask for forgiveness? And S, and this one can be hard, but I see it happen where you get a neutral party of someone who can hear both sides, not take sides, and help work out a conflict. Maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a guidance counselor, maybe it's a trusted adult. But our responsibility is to forgive. And the truth is, some unhealthy, toxic relationships need to end. Friendships ebb and flow, but if you find yourself constantly in this place of friction all the time, maybe it's time to let that friendship go, but do it in a loving and respectful way, not unfollow. We can only control ourselves. We can only control how we handle the conflict, and unfortunately, we don't get to decide how everyone else is going to control or handle the situation. And another piece about conflict is sometimes after a conflict and after the hard things happen, your friendship is so much deeper. You understand each other in a totally different way. So sometimes conflict's not a bad thing. It can actually grow our relationships. So we've taught you a lot and talked a lot about friends. And we all have friends no matter what our age is. And so I want you to sit for 1 minute. Literally 1 minute, and think about, what is God telling me about my friendships? Is there something that I need to do, invest in differently, or is there something that I need to let go? Heavenly Father, thank you for friends. Thank you for relationships. Lord, I pray that you would help us to reflect on the people that we allow into our lives and into our hearts, into our minds, Lord. That we invest in friendships that are deep, that see us for who we are, that listen to who we are. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be honoring and respectful in our relationships and especially our friendships, Lord. Lord, help our conversation as we go to small groups. Thank you for the opportunity to gather and be in relationship with each other, that you continue to give us grace and forgiveness and that we would offer that to others. In Jesus' name, amen. You're going to go out that door because the middle school is going to come in. And then if you want to come back in here at 7:35 for a game, you can.
Your surveys or your ballots for our next series, there is a black basket on top of the sound booth. I want all of them in there at the end of the night.